screen now.
Are we live streaming this?
Apparently, we're live streaming this episode.
What's up, Houdat Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol United Saints Podcast.
What's up, Houdat Nation? Thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and in this episode, we're going to talk about how the Saints gave everyone reason to hope for 57 minutes on Sunday. And then shit the bed, as is, of course, the tradition for the 2022 New Look Saints. You better get used to it, folks, because if you haven't already, you're in for a long and disappointing season. In this week's episode, we're going to continue identifying the many problems that the Saints are facing, and we're going to state the obvious solutions. Why don't they just simply do this or that? It's just so easy, because I'm sure the professionals who are getting paid millions of dollars have not thought of any of the things that we're going to talk about on the Dome Patrol Podcast. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason is with us. I'm trying to look at your screen here if we're live streaming. We got Jason to my right. Underneath us, we got Wesley, Scott, and James. You can tell who they are by their names under their faces. Welcome to the show, fellas. How'd everybody do after the instant reaction last night? Jason, you were pissed off about everything.
I wasn't pissed off. I was upset at people wearing LSU gear to Saints game. Which they deserve. They deserve all the ire, but
as is tradition.
Right. No, I know where this season's headed. Like I tweeted yesterday, there's a lot of Hazlitt vibes for this team right now. So I know where that leads. So I'm beyond being really upset about it. I'm disappointed because we had the game and blew it, but I'm kind of coming to expect that's how this season's going to go. So not right. Angry per se.
I mean, it's funny, like, cause you take that take and then the whole talk about 5-0 versus 0-5, and it really does kind of, I mean, we're so like, are we really that bad? Because if we were that bad, we'd be winless. We'd be getting destroyed. We wouldn't be in any of these games, but we're actually in the games. Like, it's just, it's basically, to me, the difference between having Sean Payton or like an elite coach and having a regular coach. We just have an average. It's not like they're not below average. There are other teams that are below average, but we just got out coached by the Vikings, the Bucks, and the Bengals. And then I don't know that we got outcoached by the Panthers so much as we just shit the bed. And then the Falcons, of course, we came back and won. Or like the Panthers, like maybe that was Jameis Winston's back more than anything. I don't know. It just doesn't feel like it. I'm with you, Jason, but I got 1 foot in the Jason column and 1 foot in the maybe the, not to say that this season could be salvaged, but maybe it's not as doom and gloom.
Well, so, the reason why we're competitive is because we have a talented team. It's the poor coaching that is causing the sloppiness and the losses.
I mean, yeah, but like yesterday at the end of the game, that was execution as much.
It was poor play calling at the end. 57 minutes of a great game plan and great.
You ran the ball down their throats for 200 yards
until you didn't at the end of the game,
which is an execution problem.
Well, no, and then it's a coaching problem too, because you get into the red zone 3 times. In the second half and you don't score. I mean, that's a coaching issue where the plays that you've been running successfully to get down the field, you all of a sudden just stop. I don't understand. You know, we talked about on instant reaction, you know, run the ball. And then, you know, we get down even that last drive, Taysom doesn't get on the field. It just, when he's been running all over him all game, it just didn't make sense. And that's coaching.
We lost from tackling, which I'm not sure how much is coaching. And then Jeff, I mean, an important point is going forward. So we have 11 games left. We have one game against a team that is above 500.
I don't even care about that anymore. It doesn't matter.
Well, okay.
It doesn't matter.
You got to talk and do your thing. Then you don't have to care about that. I do. We have 3 games against teams that are 500. And we have 7 games against teams with losing records just like us. So, and if you just want to mail in the season and stop like caring and just we're going to lose, I mean, that's fine. But there's also a reason to believe that with this talented roster, we're losing games because of 2 or 3 plays per game, sometimes 1 play per game. And to think that a talented roster that has a lot of veterans can't, you know, make those plays differently. I mean, I'm just not buying that.
Well, I could also say the talented roster, but we're also playing without the talented roster. Everybody's hurt.
Having said that, none of those people are on IR or out for the season.
Right.
All of them, pretty much everybody's predicted to come back after the Arizona game.
Michael Thomas.
No, he's predicted to come back after the Arizona game.
He's been predicted to come back for a while.
For now, we'll see what it looks like in 2 weeks.
I'm not putting a dollar on that.
We basically have a long bye after the Arizona game, or we have a long week. So everyone is predicted to be back after the Arizona game. Lattimore's kind of 50-50 on that. But
you know, I think you made the point, Wesley, where you said that 1 or 2 plays and yesterday runs differently. I think the big 2 plays we need to talk about were the 2 drops on that final drive. You know, the 1 first down there and we iced the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you've also got two plays where balls weren't dropped because they weren't even thrown, that Dalton had people wide open for first downs, which keeps the ball moving. One punt, I mean, yes, you can make the point that if Gilligan makes a good point that or a good punt that the play to Chase is a 90-yard touchdown instead of 60-yard touchdown, but there's a whole different play called and everything in that scenario. So you're not sure, but one good punt maybe gets them into field goal range, and then us getting the ball back in the way our play. I mean, everything changes at that point that we start missing tackles and we have a bad punt. And just, I mean, again, I do agree with you, Scott, our play calling is suspect. We're doing this weird thing where we find things that work and then don't ever try them again. except for last week when we found something that worked and did it 18 times, which somehow it kept working. But we get into the red zone. Alvin Kamara has not had a touchdown this year. That is not because of Alvin Kamara. Like, I get it. He's had some drops and he's had some injuries. He's missed games. But Alvin Kamara, he can score 6 touchdowns in 1 game. Should score a touchdown in here. And one thing Sean Payton did when we got in the red zone, the ball got in Alvin Kamara's hands. And then when we got within inside the 5-yard line, the ball got in Taysom Hill's hands.
And we scored touchdowns when Sean Payton made those kinds of decisions. So Lee Eric Price in chat here saying, why not give Taysom and Shaheed more touches when it worked earlier? Y'all said this on the instant reaction yesterday. Shaheed gets this big run, embarrasses Eli Apple, still double win there. And never sees the field again. Did he get hurt maybe? Or
no, apparently he did keep playing and he did come in and run a few. Like, I didn't notice him doing too much with sweeps and clearing people out, but he did run a few plays. Okay.
He was kind of like Iron Man's red lasers. It was a one-off.
I get it on a rookie in his first ever thing. I mean, he has one good play. You don't like turn the entire offensive game plan over to him.
No,
but maybe hand the ball to him again. Do the exact same play again. Let's see if it works.
Right. If there's one thing maybe we know about
Eli Apple, he is untackleable.
And
no, that would be the Bengals.
Let me kind of speak, and not that he needs it because he doesn't, but let me speak in defense of Jason a little bit. But I think
thank you, Scott.
I don't think Jason has given up on this team completely. I just think he's seen this movie before. And
yeah, I know exactly where this is headed, and everybody keeps trying to make excuses when the
I said that about She-Hulk.
For a lot of things, it's an overall pattern.
Yeah, but you watch She-Hulk.
Hey, I enjoy She-Hulk. So.
Okay, well then you should enjoy this season because this season is the She-Hulk of Saints.
are we gonna get cameos by Michael Thomas later this season?
I mean, it would be nice. But that's about all you're going to get from him.
That's
which
all
we'll
we're
talk
getting
about in a minute.
Just a camp.
Blaine did say on chat, the coaching in the last 2 drives made me want to say, come on, brother. And Bivin says, Pete Carmi can't coach is subpar. I like that name. Debbie says, like, hey, guys, just like last year, we're so close, if not for injuries, that was Lee Eric Price. So the injuries too, right? So you got the little bit of the coaching problems. Then you add on the injuries to a lot of significant players. And then it's a recipe to lose games like the way we're losing.
I could say that if we were 100% healthy, we would have had a better chance of winning the games we lost. But I don't think we lost the games because of injury. Like, we were in position to win those games. I mean, I can be wrong that, yes, maybe red zone calling is different if Michael Thomas and everybody's healthy. But I don't think we lost the game because of the replacement wide receivers yesterday.
No.
We lost it. I mean, we were in position to win the game. We won 95% of the football game.
Right.
And I was going to ask you, Jason, today, I know in the instant reaction you're upset, but I mean, does the team, the players, coaching staff, anybody as an organization get any credit for being in position to win six games? Yes, they're failing at that, but they're failing on – they're still – you know, leading towards successful.
That's what I was saying in the beginning. It's like, we're not being blown out. We're in every game. So we're
also finding ways to, but a bad team also find ways. Like,
you compared it to Haslett.
Sean Payton's not here. Nobody
didn't
said
win.
Nobody you compared did. It to Haslett, who would get blown out three games in a row and then find a way to lose the close fourth. Like, we were in all four.
And like, you're holding your own against arguably one of the better teams in the league, a Super Bowl contender, a team that was in the Super Bowl last year.
Been playing very well this year.
They're 2-3.
Who's talking point? You talking about the national heads that tell you things that don't know shit that you know don't know?
No,
shit,
their record's 2-3. Their record's 2-3 before the game, Jeff. All right, well, then we're both shit. I don't know what to tell you.
No, they weren't shit. They're, for whatever reason, they're what they are. But
there is a lot of mediocre in the league.
You're still going up against Joe Burrow, okay? And you knew that if you were not up by more than 7 points or 8 points with the last 3 minutes, that Joe Burrow is going to walk down the field. We watched him do it. That's his move. And they did it in one play.
And we were
surprised.
We talked about instant reaction. He did an incredible job of getting rid of the ball super fast.
He played well. Right. Everybody wants
you go back and watch this game. Our defensive line did not do bad.
Like, right. Nobody wants to give credit to the Bengals for playing a good game. It's the Saints are shit.
No, well, we didn't Saints played well either. Against
I'm not saying the Saints are shit.
Against a team
I never
played,
said the Saints are
I believe
shit.
You. I actually believe I have a text from you saying the organization is shit.
Okay. I said the organization, not necessarily the players themselves, the organization as a whole.
I'm starting to think that they're all just below what their potential is.
Is there any point to like saying that there was a lot of shakeup the last couple of years and that like some of these people need to learn to play together and be coached together and run the team and run those things? Is there, I mean, and maybe six games in, and if we can start getting some health, that's a good time to figure that out.
I mean, think about it at work. Anytime you ever like change jobs or you get a new manager, there's an adjustment period because you're either especially after 16 years in the same with the same manager, so to speak.
16 years of getting lazy by the organization. Oh, well, they got caught with their pants.
There's a transition. There's a change. People are gonna have to learn and adapt, and you gotta give them a little bit of time. That's why
it's
a lot of
the same defensive coordinator. And it's the same offensive coordinator.
Same defensive coordinator. And now
it's not the same defensive coordinator. We actually have two defensive coordinators. Y'all
mentioned
on the show.
You don't think
that begs the question?
Maybe
maybe the part of the problem with the defense is you can't operate with two bosses. When two people,
they always did with the offense all those years with Sean Payton and Carmichael.
It was never. I think we are clearly learning it was never Pete Carmichael's offense.
This is DA's defense. Well, I mean, he's calling the plays. Even if there's a defensive coordinator in name, DA's still calling the plays, just like there was an offensive coordinator in name.
Well, then he's not
Payton was still calling the plays
because he's got too much attention. He's not given the same amount of attention on the defense, obviously, because he's got head coach responsibilities. And he's not the kind of guy who can juggle it all.
The Giants seem to be doing pretty well with change this year. They're 5-1.
Yeah. Sometimes you get
sometimes you get a good coach and look what
sometimes
happens.
Sometimes you do. I mean, yeah, Sean Payton did it for us in 2006.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. Well, like I said, it's not that we have a shit coach. We have a
not
average coach. He's average. He's vanilla ice cream.
Midland.
He works every now and then. Yeah, you put him on a little ice cream cake, and there you go, you know. But I mean, you're not getting the sprinkles, you're not getting any of the
to Jason's point. I think then if that's the case, to Jason's point, the organization got lazy and went for They got lazy.
The they did what they should have done. They did.
They shouldn't have done this. It's clear that they shouldn't have done this.
Yeah, you give Dennis Allen a chance. You give him a chance, and if it doesn't work out, then you move on. But I mean,
3 years later,
you're saying we're gonna that waste with, 3 years with hindsight being 2020. But at the time, when knowing that the strength of our team was supposed to be the defense, our best way to contend with no quarterback was to keep Rashard. What's his name?
Okay, you can keep the coordinators, Nielsen and DA all together.
That was the only way to do that.
You can keep the coordinators. It didn't mean that Allen was the correct choice as an actual head.
But you weren't going to keep the coordinators. I mean, Dennis Allen was not staying as the coordinator while they stayed as.
Well, you wouldn't have kept him. I mean, you would have maybe kept the other two guys. You wouldn't have kept that. You would have lost Allen, but I mean.
The main person responsible for it.
I mean, you say hindsight, but I mean, I'm pretty sure Jason and I have been saying from the beginning.
I questioned it at the time.
Dennis Allen is the Wade Phillips. Dennis Allen is Wade Phillips. Amazing defensive coordinator, shitty head coach.
Right. Who else? Romeo Crennel?
Yeah. I agree with Christian Mino that he doesn't seem as aggressive as Sean. And one of the things I noticed even yesterday after the game when they did the little handshake with the two coaches, the way Dennis Allen just carries himself as he's walking off the field, Sean Payton would have walked off the field, chest out, still intense. There's an intensity to every step that's delivered. Dennis Allen was just kind of like, blah, blah, blah.
Well, Sean Payton looked like an idiot doing that.
Well, I'd rather because he did it whether we won or lost. I'd rather that than the guy walking off that looks like.
Yeah. Well, he quit and he tried to quit for years. And we're in this position where we needed Dennis Allen because Sean Payton wanted to quit for years and just kind of spun his wheels and didn't leave 3 years ago like he should have. I mean, he just stayed hanging around, not wanting to do the job and not doing it correctly. So this is what we got. And some of it's Sean Payton's fault. So let's not pat Sean Payton on the back too much for what he did well 13 years ago.
I think the thing for me is
13 years ago, we said that he can murder everyone in New Orleans and get away with it. We would give him a
well, he did. He murdered Drew Brees. He murdered the Saints.
But we gave him a free pass. Now nobody likes him. We gave him a free pass.
He murdered a bunch of our draft picks.
Hopefully we get some of those back.
The thing for me is, and I think it was you, Wesley, that said it, that we haven't been out of any of these games. Mm-hmm. And it's been our mistakes that have caused the defeats in all but probably one of the games. But the Panthers game was just an aberration looking at what they've done this year. But, you know, we were all at the game in London. We could have won that game without mistakes. We would have beaten Tampa without mistakes. We could have won yesterday without mistakes or dropping the ball. And I said this last week, the potential is there. If it clicks, this is going to be a decent team. And looking at the division, 9-8 might win the division.
Why do you think it's not clicking?
And a first round exit too.
We have the talent. So why do you think it's not clicking?
Coaching. Apparently.
Well, it's not clicking because in how many games have we had our full team? Sometimes it's just not clicking. Every team has injuries, but they don't have this many injuries. They don't have their first three wide receivers out all in one game.
2 years in a row, by the way.
Yeah, once again, why are we always injured? I don't know. I'm not going to blame that on coaching, but why are we always injured? What the hell is going on? It's something. It's not just damn luck. We're just the most injured team 2 years in a row.
How much of that is because a lot of these injuries are not on the training staff as much as we want to blame them for everything. But how many of it, are we in this with the new CBA where a lot of players can hold themselves out? Like, take Michael Thomas as a good example of that versus Jameis, who says, no, I can play. And Thomas is like, if he's not 100%, he's not going to play. What if, how many of our injuries that we're dealing with are players who would have played 10 years ago, 20 years ago, but in this new era of players' rights, whatever you want to call it, CBA, that, you know what, I'm not going to play and put myself at risk for anything until I'm 110%. And that, what if we're just kind of experienced, it feels like more injuries, but it's actually just players holding themselves out when they would or should be playing. I don't know. I mean, to me, and this brings up the talking point where I don't consider Michael Thomas a member of this team anymore.
and not to not like a psychological fuck you guy, but like literally, and I don't expect Michael Thomas. He hasn't played wide receiver for the Saints enough over the last 3 years to the where if we traded him or if we got rid of him or if he left for whatever reason, it's no loss. Like we all worry, oh, we can't get rid of Michael Thomas. Yes, we can, because we haven't had him for 3 years. We have been playing without him. He makes a cameo appearance every 15 games or so. And even then, this year, I mean, how much impact did he have?
Well, actually, I mean, he helped us win the Atlanta.
So, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, if he's not going to play, I'm no longer fearful of him being traded. Get what you can for him. Can you get anything for him? Or does he have a reputation?
Yes, you can get something for him, but no, we shouldn't, because it would cost us like between $12 and $13 million.
Yeah, I
we're paying him $12 and $13 million to not play now. At least I can get something for him and free up a roster spot.
Right, but no, but he's got these crazy cap hits, dead money. If we trade him, I think even the next like 2 years, I think he's stuck
his here. Cap hit next year. Ready for this? Is $28.3 million.
I mean, that's right on par with
Tyler. Yeah, but 12 of it would hit our books if we traded him.
Yeah,
I don't think the full 28.
So yeah, I think his salary is 15.5 million. I'd rather give him $12 million
not to play versus giving him $28 million not to play.
Got a point.
Because he's not going to play.
Got a point.
Well, we're not going to trade him midseason.
No. But I mean, I'm just kind of over it.
I'm over a lot of things.
I mean, yeah, but if he comes back and does play the last six games of the season and is the reason we win two of them, you're going to be over being over him. So
you'll be back.
But yeah, what makes you think he's going to?
And we're back.
You are correct.
But what makes you think he's going to play?
He can totally redeem himself. Yeah. All he's got to do is show up. But yeah, like Scott said, I don't believe he's going to play. All right. What else we got on the news? Kamara's civil suit was filed. Everybody kind of reacted to that last week. I think the biggest story of it is that he's being sued in Louisiana. They misspelled Louisiana on the case documents. But also, I think a lot of people were all concerned that was the criminal case, but it was just a civil case. So no impact on suspension.
Essentially, all that means is the guy wants to get paid, right? That's all that means.
Yep.
I mean, I can't fault him. I would definitely be following the same suit.
Yeah, there'll be some kind of settlement.
Yeah. Why don't we go into Saints preview and talk about the Arizona game coming up? And then we'll finish with Pick'em. So Saints play the Cardinals on Thursday night.
Yay.
Hey, this is a winnable game, right? Shitty game of the week.
It's 1:15 a.m. Lucky me.
You get to stay that up. You get to stay up that late just to watch crappy.
Yeah, Thursday. But you're off Friday.
I am off Friday. I am.
All right, and we expect Olave to play. Yes.
Yeah, he wasn't on the injury report today, so we assume that he's made it all the way through all the concussion protocol and wasn't even had to be missed today. All right.
But then 25% of the roster was actually on the injury report today.
Ooh, it was that's a good. Simulated injury report because they didn't actually practice.
Even in the simulations, we're always injured.
Including Andy Dalton.
Yeah.
So that came out, today? That the
He hurt his back. He may not be able to throw the ball more than 7 yards downfield. Oh, wait. He does.
That's a 2 yard improvement on Sunday,
then. So we start and taste them on Sunday? Is that what I'm hearing?
You mean Thursday?
Thursday.
Whatever. Or, I don't know, do they... I mean, if he's hurt, do they go with Jameis?
I mean, I guess the last time that played a team that had a running back playing quarterback, we started Taysom and did that fine against Denver.
Yeah. So, yeah, at this point, I have no idea who's going to play quarterback on Thursday. None. It could be either of the three.
I think it'll be Dalton.
Yeah, I think it'll be Dalton too.
And then I think it's for sure Jameis after that, regardless of what happens in this game.
Well, Arizona is getting back DeAndre Hopkins. He's off of his suspension. They did lose Marquise Brown,
right?
So
traded for Robbie Anderson.
And they got Robbie Anderson.
But I mean, Anderson's not going to make any kind of impact.
So I mean, I don't know. He does beat us pretty regularly.
Troutman will be missing for this game.
The only home game that Robbie Anderson won this year was against the Saints.
Oh, yeah, but I don't even think he did anything.
Did he cause a lot of damage, though, that day?
No.
No. Didn't think
so. It depends on who you ask.
He's not like T. Higgins.
No, yeah. Definitely not. So, but I mean, look, the Cardinals are in turmoil. They just lost their starting guard out for the season. So I don't know if that's going to matter with the.
They have no our running
defensive
backs.
Line has played. They have no running back. Well, they have Eno Benjamin, who's coming for James.
Kyler Murray.
If Kyler Murray running quarterback, I could just see us getting pressure and then him out running us and getting 20 and 30 yard scrambles.
I can already see that annoying little midget running away from Cam Jordan and Marcus Davenport all day. For fuck's sake, just somebody hit him.
So it is one of those things that I am worried about us doing that crush rush thing that we like to do against rushing quarterbacks. I hope that we just abandon that and we're just like, hey, go and get him. If you get him, you get him. If he gets around, then Pete Werner needs to go tackle him and not play this game of make the pocket smaller, do whatever. Like, it's just, I don't really want to play that game with him. He's not a good quarterback. Let's see if we can sack him. Let's make him run around. Let's see what he can do. And this is one of those scary things. They just scored 9 points in an ugly game against Seattle. If their Thursday night game is worse than their Sunday night game, I mean, they could look really, really bad.
And with our defense, they could probably score 9 points.
Which would be actually average worst. For Thursday, average for Thursday night football. Right. So.
Yeah. Just gotta tell the D-lineman to, if you can't get to him, put your hands up, you'll probably block the pass.
Both of our teams are not good defensively, right? And I think the difference maker would be that the Saints offense, believe it or not, is better at putting points on the board.
Our defense is ranked, I think, was it 27th so far this season? And our offense
scoring.
To
be fair, seven of those points,
at the end of the day, scoring is what matters.
To be fair, 7 of those points are Alvin Kamara's fault. And he doesn't play on defense on our team.
Yeah,
another,
we have
another. I blame Ingram for 7 of Tampa's.
Andy. I mean, the defense has one interception all season. One. Remember in the offseason when our secondary was the complete strength of our team that we gave away CD for peanuts? Remember when our secondary was good? Man, that was fun for 10 seconds.
That would come up at some point.
What's he doing now?
He's got 3 picks. Marcus Williams had 3 picks before.
He get hurt. He got 2 picks last night. He hurt his wrist and came back and got
He came back. Yeah.
Oh.
But like Scott was saying, you know, we just
might be leading the league in missed tackles, I think.
Yeah, things that he did have 2 interceptions yesterday. He has been by far the worst player on their defense this entire season.
But you know what their defense does have? Swagger.
Yes.
You know what ours doesn't? Swagger.
If Cooper Rush throws the ball to CJ Gardner Johnson, he can catch. I mean, that's he didn't get the interception because of coaching. He didn't get the interception because he was, you know, fired up to show the Saints. He just had the ball thrown to it.
And at the end of the day, it's still an interception. It's still more than what we've got.
Like I said last night,
he was in the right position.
He was in position to make those plays.
Our defense has not been the same since they traded him. No. I'm sorry, it just hasn't been. There's been no swagger. There's been no nothing. It's just like there.
Kind of like Onyemata. He's just there.
He's the heart and soul of the defense.
Y'all sound retarded. Y'all sound so retarded.
You know what else looks retarded? Our defense right now.
That's fine, but it's not because I'm fine with you saying our defense sucks. Do not try to be an idiot and say that's because of CJ Gardner-Johnson. Come on.
I mean, it's
neither
part
one of y'all. Neither one of y'all.
All I said was that our defense looks is
Farmer said he thought that Honey Badger would bring the swagger, but he's been a boring player. Y'all talked about it on the Instant Reaction about how he's kind of washed up. But even if he's washed up as a player, why is he not able to inspire and rally and motivate these guys? Like, is part of our issue the injuries? Is part of our issue that maybe we've got a defense full of individuals and they're not playing for each other?
I don't know,
or is it really just?
I mean, it's a lot of the same guys we had last year with a couple new pieces, like with Marcus May coming in. But
like you said, the missing game is not doing his part, right? But he's not playing like he had played the trajectory he was on. And you got I mean, you do have basically... we are battered by injuries in the secondary.
It definitely doesn't help, but I mean, the linebackers are playing up to par, but everybody else is. I mean, Lattimore was playing okay.
A few people were trying to say that maybe DeMario had gotten old. DeMario looks great the last
Yeah, DeMario's fine.
He's doing just fine. And actually, DeMario seals the game for us if Pete Werner doesn't take out his legs.
Yeah, no, that play. Oh, Burrow, he's a fucking magician. How does he get out of the big pileup?
Well, Cam Jordan got tackled on that play. Cam Jordan was getting that sack and was completely tackled.
Wait a minute. So some of our losses could also be attributed to the officiating. We forget about that. Like, there's a couple of bad calls in here that swings the game. Again, I mean, it's not all doom and gloom.
We should be used to that. It's been that way.
We only have 4 penalties yesterday, didn't we? So that's an improvement on what we've had so far this year.
Last two games, really, if you think about it.
Every game.
The NFL officiating has been like, they don't need us to sabotage them. They're fine.
But the Bengals only had 2. So, I mean, it's like, it's still.
Yeah, still not even.
But I mean, yesterday, one of the penalties against us, the one on DeMario Davis for the roughing the passer, just.
That was bullshit.
Yeah, wasn't good.
And they scored a touchdown on that drive.
I mean, Jeff, if any of those plays or calls or end of games go differently, and we're 3-3 right now, I think there's a whole different feel to what's happening. I mean, 3-3s, you know, even if you lose a game, you're still one game away from 500. Right now, even if we win the next game, we're still need to win another to get to 500. And you lose this next game, which is possible with 2 hurt quarterbacks, and you know, DeAndre Hopkins is good.
Yeah.
You lose this next game, you're buried in a hole. I mean, 3 games under 500.
Oh,
I mean, don't get me wrong. We're still in what might be the worst division in football somehow with Tom Brady looks 1,000 all of a sudden. And this divorce is not helping him, but I don't know. I mean, it's 3-3. If any of those one games was different and it was 3-3, I think we could have all these negative things about how we could be better and this sucks. And this isn't what we expected from the defense. But, well, we're still 500, and we're lucky to be 500 after these injuries. We're not. We're 2 games below 500, and it's not a great place.
Well, recording this podcast is less fun when we lose.
No doubt there.
Can't imagine why. All right, so now we'll jump into pick'ems. It's all about the king, fall like the rest. Your failure is my success. It's all about control. Will you make it? I will deliver the pain. You can't take it. I'm in control. So for those of you who are planning along, I'm still in the lead.
Shocking. Yeah, funny that.
21-9. I love how you act like I'm cheating.
So totally
I
surprised.
Literally
I love how you act like you're not cheating.
Like I said, track it. And if you can prove me wrong, then I will gladly step aside. Otherwise, I am winning by 1 game. Jason, you're only 1 game behind me. James, you are 2 games behind me, along with Big Easy Guy John. And then DeMail Man, Mark Brennan, Drummer, Wesley, Jambalaya Brothers, Scott, Ben, J.A. Arilla, Mr. Coach Klein, Paul Perrette, Sans Hobb, Allie Gibbs, last year's champion, way down on the list. Farmer, yes, you have missed 3 weeks. You can keep playing, but you cannot play to win. Neil, PX Saber, also missed 3 weeks. Tom Ensign, Trevor Bruno, Alex Barbie, who missed 3 weeks. And Wayno, who has now missed 4 weeks, unless I missed one of Wayno's counts. Maybe he was just too busy warming up for the Saints.
He's been warming up too much, and he's got a back injury.
He's hurt his back.
Yeah.
So maybe he'll be able to spend more time on Pickham since he hurt his back.
Right. Yeah, there you go. And I would say, last week, everybody did really well except for Allie Gibbs and Tom Ensign.
What was really taking it out on him after he beat you in a tiebreaker last year?
Yeah.
Jeff, what was my score last week then?
4-1. You missed
bloody Green Bay.
Yep. Jason, you got this week's games?
I do have this week's game. So they don't look really good because we've got 4 teams on bye this week. Games that look mediocre, but here we go. We will start off with the Atlanta Falcons.
Wow.
Sitting there at 3-3 after beating the 49ers last week. They are tied for first. Look, Atlanta could very easily win this division.
Very much.
So And that's how bad the division is. So they travel.
I'm not actually writing Carolina off winning the division just yet.
Oh, I'm definitely writing off Carolina. They travel to Cincinnati to play the Bengals, who are coming off that come from behind winning against the Saints. This game's in Cincinnati. Bengals are favored by 6.
I'll take the Bengals.
I'll Bengals give up the points.
Bengals.
Roll over, Jimmy. Yeah. I've already put everybody down for the Bengals.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I just can't. I can't in good conscience pick Atlanta, even though I think Atlanta could very easily win this game. All right, our next game, battle of the AFC South teams, the Indianapolis Colts coming off a win this week. So they're sitting now at 3-2-1. Matt Ryan had a renaissance game this past week against the Jaguars. They travel to Tennessee to play a Titans team. Yeah, they were on a bye last week. So they're sitting there at, I believe, 2-3. This game's in Nissan Stadium, which won't be around for that much longer, apparently, as they just struck up a new potential.
It's like Tennessee's going to win a Super Bowl in a few years.
That's right. That's right. So the Titans are favored by 3. I'm going to go ahead and pick the Colts.
Yeah, I'm with you. I actually think the Colts are going to win the game.
I'm going to take the Titans. Just remember them.
Tennessee.
Yeah, I'm going to take Tennessee. These two teams played 2 weeks ago in Indianapolis, and Tennessee won by 7. I'm not.
You're not buying into the Matt Ryan resurgence?
Why would anybody buy into
it? Was
that?
It was 2 weeks ago that they beat them.
All right.
And they beat them at home. Tennessee. Yeah, Tennessee.
All right, our next game. The Kansas City Chiefs coming off a loss at home to the Buffalo Bills, traveling to San Francisco to play a 49ers team that was coming off a 28-14 loss to the Falcons. This game's in San Francisco, and the 49ers are getting 3 points at home.
I'll take the Chiefs.
I'm taking the Chiefs as well.
Yeah, Kansas City, please.
Give me some burnt ends.
I'm going to take San Francisco.
Just to be different, or?
Just to make a son happy.
A little bit of that.
Just but make a son happy.
Make nope, I'm looking at point differentials, and San Francisco's defense, pretty good.
Yeah, right. Gave up a lot of points against the Falcons.
Okay. That's the Falcons, though.
This is Kansas City. A little slightly better offense.
I think it was a trap game for San Fran.
All right, our next game, the Seattle Seahawks, coming off a win against Arizona last week. They're playing pretty well. They travel to Los Angeles to play a Chargers team who is playing Denver tonight on Monday Night Football. So we don't know the results of that yet. Obviously, tonight's game will probably influence the spread tomorrow. But as of now, the Chargers are favored by 7.
I'm going to take the Seahawks.
I am going to take Seattle as well.
Yep.
Give me the Chargers, please.
I'm taking the Chargers. I mean, the Saints beat the Seahawks, y'all. Come on. Jeez.
All right, and now our shitty game of the week.
Here we go. Piece of shit card. I got a piece of shit card. That fucking pile of shit never gets me very far. My car's a
bitch. I really wanted to put Green Bay in the shitty game this week. They play Washington. I wanted to.
Okay. Oh, I think you should.
It's too bad because they're actually, I mean, yeah, there's a game that's just shitty.
Yeah. We've got Houston at Las Vegas. Houston coming off a bye. Raiders coming off a bye. Both teams coming off a bye. I think both teams are 1-4.
How about this spread, though?
I've got Vegas favored by 7.
7.
Give me the Raiders.
I am also taking the Raiders.
Give me Houston.
Ooh. I'll take Houston. I think score is going to be too close.
Give me the Raiders.
And that's your pick-ems this week. Atlanta at Cincinnati. Cincinnati favored by 7. Colts at Titans. Titans favored by 3. Chiefs at 49ers. 49ers are getting 3 at home. Seahawks at the Chargers. Chargers favored by 7. In our shitty game, the Texans at the Raiders. Raiders favored by 7.
All right, everybody. Don't forget to get your picks in. A couple of people missed last week and the week before, so make sure you get them in. We let people miss 2 weeks. Once you miss your third week, then we stop giving you a pass. And you're really going to start going 0-5 each time you miss. So that brings us to final thoughts. Does anybody want to start with final thoughts, or do I need to call on you like the teacher?
What about a score prediction?
Oh, my God. Fucking score predictions. score predictions for Arizona.
24-17 Saints.
I'm going to predict the Saints win 9-6.
God, I hope not.
Oh, that's true. This is a Thursday night game.
I'm going to go Saints 13-9.
I'm going to go Saints 13-12.
Oh, God.
Saints 19-15.
I love these
scores. Wow, so my 24.
Glad we did this segment.
We've seen enough Thursday night football games this year to kind
right?
of.
As long as we win, I just don't care. Just win.
No, yeah. Five, yeah.
Just win, baby.
Just win, baby.
Five field goals.
Just win.
All right, final thoughts. James, you go.
I think it's not Saints related, but
it's okay.
How are the two teams in New York 9-3 this year? Combined 9-3.
Good coaching.
I mean, it's crazy. The Giants are 5-1 and the Jets are 4-2. Where did that come from?
Zach Wilson banging Cougars.
You know, you talk about the Giants, and it absolutely is the coaching change, because even Danny Dimes, even on a shitty, you knew he was a good quarterback on a is shitty he? Team.
I mean, yeah, he's probably, he was, I think he's mediocre. He's mediocre.
I mean, he's okay. He's better than what we got.
Maybe.
Top 15. Know. I mean, he's not
he's a healthier bad... than what we've got.
Well, that helps.
He's healthier. Now, they did get Saquon back this year, and he looks good.
That helps.
But just, you know, an actual culture change by a good coach. I mean, that's what happens there.
I didn't want this to come back to coaching and culture and stuff like that. So anyway, that's my final thought.
Saquon Barkley has been an absolute weapon again. When he is healthy, he is as good as any running back in the game. And he has been phenomenal this year.
All right.
So that was my final thought.
Scott.
LSU beat Florida this week. Great game. Play Ole Miss next week. LSU is actually now favored by 1.5 points in that game. 2:30 kickoff.
Is there a road to the playoffs for this LSU team?
No.
Even if it's winding, bumpy, and full of puddles?
I mean, I guess.
You mean the top four seed playoff?
Yeah, no.
Yeah,
they didn't expand to 15 teams yet, Jeff. So no,
okay, sorry. All right.
I mean, we still got Bama. We got Ole Miss. We got Bama. You know,
what was the stat we saw that Brian Kelly is the first LSU coach in history to win at the Swamp and at
Jordan Hare, Auburn. Yeah,
in a single season.
How many times do LSU play?
That is shocking.
Is he the only one to do it in a single season, or is he the only one to ever win at both of them
in a single season?
I think
season,
a single I season.
I thought he's the only one to win at both of them.
Because they don't often play at those two stadiums in the same year, do they?
They're not both away games. Wesley.
Yeah, we got a basketball season coming up, so that'll be keeping us up late and a few nights a week. And Jason, what's the steakhouse that you're buying me dinner at when the Mavericks finish higher?
You're going to have fun looking at the menu of Mr. John's when you pick out my steak when we finish ahead of that.
Is it Mr. John's? I couldn't remember the name of the restaurant. I thought it was something.
I mean, either, you know, eat like Mr. John's, Desi Vegas, it's both the same thing.
I thought you said Desi Vegas. I already talked to Renee. She's putting money aside every month. She knows that the bill's coming.
So Wesley, can you order an extra steak for me, like, to go? Like, I won't be at the table.
Listen, I tried to give Jason an out, and I said, hey, why don't we just do the food and not do the wine? He's like, no, we're doing the entire whatever wine you want to get, whatever we're doing. I'm like, okay. So he was excited. All
right. Here's the first Pelicans Mavericks game.
Whoever finishes early.
It's Tuesday of next week. It's at 6:30.
Is the bet on the record at the end of the year?
In New Orleans, yeah.
Yeah, it's official.
Okay,
so it is Brian Kelly becomes the first LSU coach to notch road wins against Auburn and Florida in the same season.
All right, Jason, final thoughts.
Wesley kind of stole my thunder, but Pelicans win in the division, so the game starts Wednesday.
The Thunder, you're supporting the Thunder now?
Zion said he's going to play Wednesday.
Willie Green didn't sound so convinced, though.
He's going to play one game.
No, Zion's convinced. He went through a full practice today, so. We're gonna go on the road, and we're going to beat Brooklyn, and then we're going to go beat Charlotte. We'll be 2-0 coming back.
Has he gone through a full practice since he was drafted by the Pelicans, or is this the first one? Is that why it's...
Who is the Mavericks' second-best player again? Who? Okay.
All right. That's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol Podcast. Follow us on Facebook. Look for Dome Patrol Podcast, where we do live streams. Follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast, at Dome Patrol UK. If you want to participate in game day chat, you can DM us on Twitter to get an invitation to the Dome Patrol Podcast Discord server. And if you want to listen to us the really old fashioned way, you can go to the internet, Dome Patrol Podcast.
Dadgum.
Say bye bye, donkeys.
Bye bye, Maverick donkeys.
Good night, Houdat Nation.
Don't stop believing.